Perfect Stranglers contains graphic and explicit content suitable for mature listeners. Listener discretion is advised.
Hi everyone, welcome to Perfect Stranglers. This is Kylie.
I'm Brie.
And I'm Nicole.
Back for round two.
What?
Guess who's back?
Back again.
I had to think for a second who that was. How bad is that? At first I was like, no, because at first I was like, is this Backstreet Boys? I don't know. Don't they have a...
Backstreet's back. All right.
Yes. At first that's what I thought you were doing. I was like, wait a second. What? Yeah. So I came to, you know, Britney Spears' Toxic. We all know what that song's about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What is that song about, you guys?
It's about toxic stuff.
It's about toxic relationship. It's about a toxic relationship. Okay. So when that song first came out, holy shit, the hottest UPS driver is dropping off a package right now. Okay, hold on. Let me see if I get a picture. He's so fine. Come back here. Oh, no. He's gone already. And he was very cute. Yeah. Anyway. Okay. Toxic. About a toxic relationship. When that song first came out, though, what my dumb young brain thought it was about was toxic materials like nuclear materials and radioactive materials. I was like, why is she singing about this?
Oh, my God.
I didn't understand. And there's a vial of shit in the... that I think that she has, that she breaks in the music video.
Yeah.
So it definitely alluded to some type of, like, toxic materials heist situation.
Yeah.
It definitely steered my young brain wrong.
Yeah,
I didn't think about it for a long time, and I pulled up my, like, 1990s, 2000s pop Spotify playlist, and I was like, oh. You ever listen to songs that you listened to when you're younger and you thought they were about something else, and then you're like, this is actually relatable.
Yeah.
Yeah, and actually, there's a lot of songs where it's like, I can't believe they put this on the radio. Like, didn't they know what this means?
Yeah.
Liquid Dreams by O-Town?
Yeah, or Closer. Was that what it's called?
Nine Inch Nails?
No. Yeah, well, not only that.
Well, yeah.
That's not what I was... shoot.
There is no guessing what that one's about.
Man, let me Google this.
I want to know what... Okay.
It's just called Close. Dancing real close.
Oh, okay. Okay, yeah. Yep. Okay, yeah, I know
that. That song is very sexually graphic. And they did
really?
Not...
I'm going to have to listen to that later.
Dude, you're going to be like, why did they not... They did not censor it at all. They just like... It's just, like, complete innuendo, the entire song, and it's... Cripes.
Cripes. So, Baby One More Time. Hit Me Baby One More Time. Do you guys know what that song's about?
Man, I haven't heard that song in a long time.
Yeah, turns out the word hit was used as slang for call, so it's like, call me baby one more time.
Oh, sure, okay.
Like, she just wants them, like, to call her one more time.
Hit my line.
Yeah, drop us a line. Drop me one more line, baby. Yeah. You know what song I'm also obsessed with right now? We're just going to get into it. Have you heard Billie Eilish's Happier Than Ever?
Yeah. Maybe. Probably.
It is so good. It is so good. So it starts out really slow. So Spotify has two versions. They have the full version, and then they have the edit where it's just when she gets into like her really angry part. Mm-hmm. It is so well done. Happier Than Ever by Billie Eilish. You just need to listen to it because it is the perfect breakup song where you're like, you fucked up my life. You made me hate where I live. You made all of your friends think I was the bad person. Like, fuck you.
Yeah.
I just love it so much. I love a good angry pop song.
You know what else is a good breakup song? Jar of Hearts by Christina Perry.
Oh!
Okay.
Throwback.
I remember that in beauty school playing constantly. Yeah.
Oh my God. I was also going through a breakup at that time, so that shit was my jam. I would, like, turn it completely way up in the car and just, like, scream, sing, and cry.
Yep.
Yes. Yes. There was, okay, so that song, I specifically remember an exact moment in beauty school where I was standing. You know how when you were in T-Spot and there was the two sets of stations, and then there was the product wall, and then the other two sets of stations? Mm-hmm. So I was at the back left set of stations, and I just remember that song playing when it was like a snowy day out, and I think what was Miss Reiki turned the volume up all the way because there was no one in there at that point, and we were all just singing Jar of Hearts. Do you remember that or no?
I don't.
I don't. That just like sticks out to me so much. Yeah, there's also a song called A B C D E F U.
I heard that the other day by Gail. Yeah.
Yes. Oh my God, it is so song. So there's the ABCDEFU regular, and then there's a calm version and an angrier version. Mm-hmm. Where she doesn't say ABCDEFU, she says ABCDE fuck you instead of the F.
Oh, on the radio edit, they say forget you, and it just doesn't have the same effect.
Ew, no.
Yeah.
I could not. That's like when they tried to edit WAP or WAP or however you want to say it, wet and gushy.
Okay, yeah.
Like, that's almost worse.
That's not a radio song, really, unless you're on XM radio.
Yeah, I mean...
Triple XM radio.
Yeah, XM radio. That, like, comes installed on every car for 3 months when you get your new car. And then I wonder how many people actually
Once
keep
I
it.
Got... I got, XM radio for, like, an entire year by mistake once. For free.
Ooh.
It was really cool.
See, that's one of those...
Like, I didn't want to call them and be like, what's happening? Because I don't want them to turn it off.
Yeah. That's one of those things. I feel like XM Radio is one of those things where it's really nice, but it's also kind of stressful because they give you too many options.
Oh, yeah. For sure. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because, like, you feel... It's like, this is a really cool station, but you also feel like you're missing out on the stuff that's on the other stations. And it's like, you're not in your car for, like, that long out of the day. Like,
mm-hmm. Yeah. I
don't know. But, I mean, they do have, like, XM that you can, like, bring in the house, like, a little thing. But, like, that costs extra and whatever to have that extra little, like, receiver or whatever. Yeah. But and this XM radio is really nice, though.
It is. It is really nice. But this is why I have Spotify, so I can listen to my comfort songs over and over and over again. Right. And just deal with it. Like, my Spotify Wrapped had... the top songs on it were just... They're slightly swayed by Everly because she's in the car with me for 2 hours a day when I'm taking her to and from school. But my top songs was... There was... My Mother Told Me, which is a Viking war song, was my top song of the year. Ariana Grande, Beyonce, The Wellerman, The Sea Shanty Thing. And then it was country, Adele, and rap. There's just such a clusterfuck of songs, but there was a lot of like weird Viking war chants on it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, this...
I had emo in my top three.
Yeah, of your things. Yeah, I think I did too. I had dance pop, emo, contemporary country, alternative metal, and then something else.
I can't remember. I think it was chill hop or something.
Chill hop.
Okay.
Love it.
Chill hop, soft rock, and emo.
Nice.
So that's pretty much me. I guess.
Yeah. One of my friends had hard bop.
Oh, what is that?
As one of his genres. Like, there are genres that I didn't even know were a thing happening.
Is that like pop punk? Like Good Charlotte?
He said it was. Oh my God. What did he say it was? It was like rockabilly.
Oh.
Something.
Okay.
I don't know. Rockabilly something or other. I don't know. But I was like, hard bop, man?
Hard bop.
What are you doing?
Never hard heard bop. Of it.
Yeah, I don't know. I know. I didn't either. But that was on his list.
Interesting.
So, yeah.
I don't have Spotify. So, I don't have Spotify Wrapped.
Yeah.
It's free. I mean.
It's.
I mean, well, I have the premium version, but.
Yeah.
I do too.
Where you can like save playlists and stuff, but
yeah. Okay, his was soundtrack was number one, techno, hard bop, conscious hip hop, and then pop rap. So they asked what hard bop was, and he said it's a subgenre of jazz and then into bebop.
Oh, that actually makes sense.
And I was, he's like Miles Davis, John Coltrane, that type of thing.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay. All right. And he's like, I had to Google it too.
Yeah.
So that makes me feel better.
Huh. Yeah. Interesting. I learned something new today.
Yep, me too.
Hmm. How's about we do some housework?
Yeah, do you want to hit up housework real quick?
Yeah. All right, so don't forget to like and rate our podcast on Apple Podcasts. Give us that 5-star rating if you love us, but you know you do. It helps us get seen, and it helps people find us. And also, don't forget to subscribe to us on whatever platform that you listen to us on so that you never miss an episode. We also want to hear from you on our social media. We've got Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And we also want to hear your stories of true weird things that have happened to you. So please email us those at contact@perfectstranglers.com. Or you can also send us a message through social media. Or send us like a voice recording of your story. That would be cool too. And while you're at it, check out our website, which is perfectstranglers.com. That's all I got.
All right. What are y'all ready about? For a weird one?
Yeah.
So it's going to be a short one.
Okay.
Because we're recording 3 episodes today, y'all. So, you know, got to keep her short. So I'm going to preface this by saying it is up in the air if what I'm about to tell you is even true or not.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
It might not be true.
Yeah.
We're not really sure if it's true, but some people think it's true. I think it's a good story. I think it might be true. And I'm really hoping that I don't have ancestors that were these people.
Even if it's not tell you the truth. Completely true, there might be bits of truth to it.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's a very old story, so I'm sure it's like the game of telephone where it just like throughout time.
Yep.
So I'm going to be telling you the real story of The Hills Have Eyes, because that is actually apparently based on a true story. Both the one that came out in 77 from Wes Craven and then the one that came out in like 2000-something. From Rob Zombie.
Mm-hmm. I've only seen that newer one.
I've only seen that. That was one of the few horror movies that I have seen, is that movie.
Yeah.
I like.
What do you remember most from that movie?
I remember the little girl, the baby, and then I remember the guy with the weird fucking head, like, turning around, and I remember the setup of the house that they went in. But I don't remember much after that.
I remember all the extremely fucked up parts, which would be when they came into their trailer and raped the girl, and when they found, like, all those people. Didn't they have, like, women, like, tied up, like, that were going to, like, give birth to, like,
you know,
deformed children?
Yeah, the radioactive children. So The Hills Have Eyes, this one, the Rob Zombie one, is about a family who kills and tortures people that come to visit, like, this desert land, and they're very good at hiding or whatever. Mm-hmm. And they all are fucked up because of radioactive, like, materials.
Like nuclear testing in the desert.
Nuclear testing stuff and everything, yeah. So that came out in 2006. I probably, like, hid my face for half of it, which would explain why I don't remember a ton of it.
It's
why I only remember the good parts.
It's really fucked up.
Rob Zombie makes fucked up movies.
Yeah.
I used to have such a crush on him, too. And I still kind of do. Listen, I don't know what it is about me. Listen, I don't know what it is about me liking guys who, you know how, like, most women like a guy who, like, cleans up good?
Yeah.
I like a guy who grimes up good.
No, yeah, you like guys who look like they stink.
I like guys. So I was talking to Julia. She's like, you like guys who either look like, are grimy, like The Witcher, like Henry Cavill in The Witcher looks like he fucking stinks. The Vikings, those shows, they look like they fucking stink.
Yeah.
Right? She's like, you either like guys who look like that, or you like guys who look like they might hurt you, like military men. But the ones that are like, look like they're in the military, not like, oh, they're probably in the military. The ones are like,
yeah,
like, fuck, they are military.
But they're like clean shaven and stuff. And, but they could still stink.
Yeah. Yeah, they could. They could still stink. And I know if a guy is truly attractive, if I still think he's attractive without a beard.
Okay.
Because I like the three B's: biceps, beard, blue collar. Oh, that's what I like.
I thought a butt was one of them.
If they have a juicy booty, totally down for it. And a nice back. So I really like things that start with B. boners. Nicole's like, yeah, this is recording with Kylie. But anyway, yeah, Rob Zombie's movies are fucked up. Let's go back to the story. Okay, speaking of bees, this guy's name was Sonny Bean. Mm-hmm. So, yep.
Mr.
Yeah.
Mr. Bean.
Oh my God. Yeah, we're going to talk about Mr. Alexander Sonny Bean.
Okay.
So yeah, Alexander Sonny Bean was said to be the head of a 45-member clan in Scotland in the 16th century. And like you said, the person the original Hills of Eyes movies was loosely based off of.
Mm-hmm.
So the story of Sonny and his clan appeared in the Newgate Calendar, which was, it was called a crime catalog, but really it was just a fucking tabloid of the time. From Newgate Prison in London from the 18th and 19th centuries. The legend lacks evidence to be considered by actual historians to be true, and there is debate as to why the legend would have been like made up in the first place, but there is a reason that we'll get to at the very end. The myth of Sonny Bean has been passed into folklore and become, it's now part of like Edinburgh tourism experience. Like they, if you go to Edinburgh, they'll probably talk about this story because it's well known there. So according to the Newgate Calendar, Alexander Bean was born in East Lothian during the 16th century. His father was a ditch digger and a hedge trimmer, and Bean really tried to take up that family business, but he realized that he doesn't want to do hard labor, and he's just, like, not about it. So he's like, I'm not built for this. I'm going to try something different.
This story setting is kind of reminding me of season 2 of The Miracle Workers. I don't know if you guys have seen that show. If you haven't, you should. It's fucking fantastic. But it starts off like, you know, way long ago, and this chick is her father's trying to get her to follow in her footsteps of being a, is it, do they call it like a shit digger or something? They basically like, you know, shit shoveler, that's what it is.
Okay, that's the show with Steve Buscemi is in it.
Yeah.
And
Harry Potter,
yeah, what the heck's that guy's name?
Daniel Radcliffe.
I was gonna say Robert Pattinson, but that's Edward Cullen.
But Robert Pattinson was in Harry Potter, though.
He was.
The one movie. Yep. Okay. So back to this story. So, okay. There was just an ambulance that drove past.
Oh, better put it on your siren page.
better type it up on my Grand Rapids sirens. Ambulance, apartment building, the street. Time.
9:04 a.m.
11:03 a.m. Okay, so Bean was like, I'm not built for this shit. I'm not going to do this. What he decided to do instead is he left home, allegedly with a, quote, vicious woman named Black Agnes Douglas, who apparently had a very similar predisposition as him. She was accused of being a witch after some robbing and cannibalization of some of their victims, which is what he chose to do instead of digging ditches. The couple ended up at a coastal cave in Beanan Head between Girvan and Bellentree. So the cave was 200 yards deep, which is about 2 football fields deep. The entrance was blocked by water during high tide, so the couple was able to live in there undiscovered for about 25 years.
Wow.
That's impressive.
So Sonny and Agnes had 8 sons, 6 daughters, 18 grandsons, and 14 granddaughters.
Oh, okay.
So,
fertile bunch.
The grandchildren are incest.
Okay.
Children.
Yeah, it's disgusting.
Children of incest. Yeah. So, there's a lot of people in there.
Interesting.
Gross.
I know.
You know, I bet it stinked in there, too.
Oh, I bet it was awful. I bet it was just horrendous. To be clear, I don't like that. Okay. Just to clarify. So the Bean Clan didn't really have like the want or the drive to do regular jobs of the time. Instead, they thrived on laying very careful ambushes at night to rob and murder individuals or small groups walking in and around their area or the nearby cities. The clan brought back bodies to their cave where the corpses were dismembered and eaten. They then pickled the leftovers in jars, in barrels.
Smart.
So, I know. It's a great preservation skill.
Charcuterie.
So the clan a little charcutes. Yep. The clan discarded the body parts, which would sometimes wash up on nearby beaches. So this strategy was used to help conceal the crimes, and it led villagers to believe it was just animal attacks that was making the people disappear and the bodies be washed up ashore. So the body parts and disappearances didn't go unnoticed by the local villagers, but the Bean Clan stayed in their cave during the day and took their victims at night. So I imagine they were very, like, vitamin D deficient, you know? Mm-hmm. But if they're eating kidneys, a kidney is the most nutritious food on Earth. It is extremely nutritious, nutrient dense. Yeah, so maybe they weren't. There's a lot of copper in a kidney.
Ew.
Anyway, sorry, just thinking about cannibalism and how you'd survive. So the body parts and disappearances, yeah, didn't go unnoticed. The Bean Clan was so stealthy that the villagers were unaware of the murderer, that there was even people nearby. They left nothing behind. Like, the villagers didn't know that this family even existed, is how stealthy and, like, careful they were about cleaning their trail and leaving, like, no body parts.
You know what I was thinking just now, though, is, like, did they season them?
Nah, fam.
Cause I imagine maybe salt? There had to have been herbs somewhere. I wonder if they could grow anything in that cave.
Okay, well, if they're in a cave, they're by the ocean, they have salt water.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they have salt.
They can brine it, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, and that, like, pickle and stuff. I would imagine only salt, and possibly if they were to go out and about, maybe they could find an herb or two to, you know, maybe use.
There's nothing worse than unseasoned meat.
No, there's not. The only meat that tastes partially okay, the only meat that tastes okay unseasoned is bacon.
Yeah.
That's it. But still, it's still cured.
Right.
You know?
Hmm.
Like, think of it. There's not a meat that tastes fine. And bacon is the only one, but it still goes through a processing situation, so.
Right.
Yeah, but it sounds like they were doing some sort of, you know, I mean, if they're pickling it or
whatever. Yeah, if they're pickling it, they're using
salt. Imagine there's
some flavor in there.
I imagine there's a little
something.
They got a little bit of flavor, yeah. Who would love a pickled big toe?
Ew.
You know, making a little sandwich out of it. So, as local people began to take notice of the increased disappearances, several organized searches were launched to find where that was happening, because at a certain point they were like, okay, this is too many animal attacks. What's happening here?
Mm-hmm.
One search party took note of the cave, but the men refused to believe any human could even live inside of it, because it was damp and dark and deep and just like, ugh. So frustrated and frantic because the town, like, wanted answers, the townspeople lynched a lot of innocent people, believing that they were the cause of it, but the disappearances kept happening. Suspicion a lot of the times was on local innkeepers because they were the last known people to have seen the missing people alive. So a lot of company, like small business owners, were lynched because they were the last ones to see these people, which is unfortunate. So one night, the Bean Clan ambushed a married couple riding from a fair on horse. But the couple that they attacked, the man was very skilled and well-trained in combat. The man ended up being able to hold off the clan using a pistol and a sword. But the Bean Clan mauled the wife when she fell to the ground, dismembered her and all that. Before they could overpower the husband, a large group of fairgoers appeared on the trail and the Beans left the scene. The fairgoers took the man, the survivor, to the local authorities, let them know his experience and the experience that they had, what they witnessed, and they were able to describe the Bean Clan. So now they knew who they should be looking for. With the Bean's existence finally revealed, Have you guys ever seen the show The Croods?
I know what it is. The movies with the, like, people or whatever.
Yeah, this is who I'm picturing, by the way, is The Croods when it comes to this. Yeah. So, with the Bean's existence finally revealed, it wasn't long before the king, possibly King James VI of Scotland, who is listed when the story is linked to the 16th century, when the story is linked to the 15th century, there's not a specific royal family listed, but when the king heard of the attack and decided to lead a search with a team of 400 men and several bloodhounds. So they soon found the Bean clan's previously overlooked cave in Beanan Head, thanks to the bloodhounds. When they entered the cave by torchlight, the searchers found the Bean clan surrounded by human remains with somebody's like body parts hanging from the wall, barrels filled with limbs, piles of stolen heirlooms and jewelry. Think like Madame LaLaurie is what I'm picturing. Yeah. Yeah. So then there are two versions of what happens after they were found. Because again, we don't know if this is true. So the most common of the two is that the Bean clan was captured alive, where they gave up without a fight. They surrendered. They were taken in chains to the Tolbooth Jail in Edinburgh, then transferred to Glasgow or Leith, unsure which one, where they were quickly executed without trial as people saw them as subhuman and unfit to be able to live in society. So Sawney and his fellow men had, during this time before they were executed, what happened to them before that was the men had their genitalia cut off and thrown into fire. Their hands and feet were severed. They were allowed, then they basically bled to death, with Sawney shouting his dying words, "It isn't over and it will never be over," which reminds me of The Notebook. It wasn't over. It still isn't over. You know what I'm talking about?
No, because I saw that movie like one time and I cried a lot and I vowed to never see it again.
God, I know. I can't watch that movie without crying either. But yeah, Ryan Gosling goes, "It wasn't over. It still isn't over." And then they kiss and I'm like, "Oh, I just want that to happen to me."
That's too much for me.
After watching, I love it. I'm a hopeless romantic, and it's unfortunate for my life. So after watching the men die, Agnes and the rest of the women and the children were tied to stakes and burned alive. So these types of executions, the punishment of hanging, drawing, and quartering, which is what happened to the men, that was generally ordered for men convicted of treason, and the women who are convicted of treason were often burned. So that's why they chose those types of tortures. Listen to our medieval torture episode if you want to know more.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, if you want a doozy. So there was another claim. The second one was that the search party placed gunpowder at the entrance of the cave, and they basically suffocated the Bean clan with the smoke and whatever. So the town of Girvan, located near the scene of the murder and the scuffle that happened, has another legend about the Bean clan. There are claims that one of Bean's daughters eventually left the clan, settled in Girvan, where she planted a dual tree, which is like that classic creepy looking tree that you often see in like hangings from Britain and the UK in that time. It became known as the Hairy Tree. And after her family's capture and exposure of who they were, the daughter's identity was also revealed, and they ended up hanging her from her own tree.
Oh. Dang.
So that's a version and a half, I guess. So, according to the Scotsman newspaper, there is a debate over the validity of this, and some people believe that he was a real person, while others think that he was a mythical figure. Dorothy L. Sayers, who is an author of the anthology series Great Short Stories of Detection, Mystery, and Horror, wrote about a gruesome account of Sawney Bean in her books, claiming it to be true. A 2005 article by Sean Thomas notes that historical documents such as newspapers and diaries during this era, which Sawney Bean was supposedly alive, makes no mention of any disappearances of like massive amounts of people, like hundreds of people. Additionally, Thomas notes that there's inconsistencies in the stories, but speculates that there might be like kernels of truth that inspired the legend. The precise dating of Bean's reign of terror also varies. Sometimes they're noted to have occurred the reign of King James the Sixth, as we mentioned, while other versions claim that he lived centuries before that. So this is like way, way early in early times, like 12, 1300s. Because of this, it's arguable that the Bean story may have had like little kernels of truth, like Lee said, but it's like a game of telephone where it's blurry over the years. We do know, though, that cannibalism was not like an unknown thing that happened. Like, cannibalism was very prevalent in medieval Scotland. It was like a lawless place back then. Like, there are no rules. So I think there's probably kernels of truth to this. I don't think there was a whole clan of 45 people in a cave eating people. Mm-hmm. But I think there was probably like a group of people killing and eating people.
Yeah.
For sport, basically.
Yeah.
So there is another legend that, like, is kind of related to this or, like, resembles it. It's called The Story of Christy Cleek, which is associated much earlier in the 15th century. Christy Cleek is a mythical Scottish cannibal who lived during a famine in the mid-14th century. A broadside, which is a single sheet of paper, kind of like a press release of that day, but more for public notices and like royal proclamations.
Mm-hmm. Hear ye. It meant,
yes, hear ye is exactly what it is. And then they unravel it, read it, and then they pin it up.
Yep.
So it mentioned the Scottish traditional story of Sandy Bane as it relates to a report of a murderer who had been eating live cats.
Live cats.
So
I'm sorry, but cats. A live cat will not let you eat it.
Yeah. So we have Christy Cleek. We have Sandy Bane, who I'm assuming it was a woman, but I don't know because it didn't say. I'm gonna say it was a woman. She was eating live cats. So that could have been twisted into the Sonny Bean story. Mm-hmm. There was another cannibal story from Scotland, even more reminiscent of the legend of Sonny Bean than the Christy Cleek story, and that can be found in the 1996 work of Nathaniel Crouch. He was a popular researcher and history writer who published under the pseudonym Richard Burton. In the story, he says the following happened in 1459, a year before James II of Scotland's death. So this is written in Old English, so like it's going to be hard for me to read. It says, about which time a certain thief who lived privately in a den with his wife and children were all burned alive. They, having made it their practice for many years to kill young people and eat them, one girl only of a year old was saved and brought up at Dundee, who at 12 years of age, being found guilty of the same horrid crime, was condemned to the punishment, and when the people followed her in great multitudes to execution, wondering at her unnatural villainy, she turned toward them, and with a cruel countenance said, "What do you thus rail at me, as if I had done such a heinous act, contrary to the nature of man? I tell you that if you did but know how pleasant the taste of man's flesh was, none of you all would forbear to eat it." And thus, with an impotent and stubborn mind, she suffered a deserved death.
Hmm.
Yeah. So there's a lot of stories of cannibalism happening here.
Yeah.
And eating cats that I feel we're all wrapped up into this one story to condense it all in a nice, neat package. So when all said and done, the common belief with historians is that none of what I just mentioned qualifies as a primary source of evidence, and it's not true. There are no actual historical documents showing any of this to be true, any of the stories that I mentioned, besides people who think they're historians who wrote stories about it. The evidence is all just storytelling and tabloids. There were no documents showing disappearances, cannibalism at this sort. We know cannibalism was a thing, but not like clans of it. The scuffle at the fair was never mentioned. The hangings were never mentioned. The execution of an entire 45-member family was never mentioned. So the most likely reason of this story even existing is it was likely a way of demonizing the Scots.
Yeah.
Into like that, I say, how dare you? Mm-hmm. How dare you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's what I heard.
So that's the story of, So that's the story of Sonny Bean and The Hills Have Eyes and what that's based off of.
I was wondering, like, okay, so, you know, these people, they went undetected for so long because they were living in a cave and, you know, the tide would kind of conceal their cave at certain points and whatever. And But how did they cook their food? They had to have had a fire for warmth and for cooking their food and stuff. And you would see smoke. Like, if they were in the cave.
I mean, they must have been far back in the cave because it was 2 football fields long. So.
I guess. Because there could be other,
wouldn't you die of, some type of poisoning, though?
I mean, maybe, but,
because there's not a lot of ventilation?
Well, yeah, if there was different, I don't know what's the proper words for it, but, tunnel, I guess, to the outside.
A tunnel system or something?
Yeah, a space or whatever. I don't know.
So I'm picturing it coastal line, cave. The cave isn't facing the town. It's facing away from the town. Right, so it's at night,
in a hillside or something,
yeah,
against the ocean.
So I'm guessing at night not a lot of people are there. And it's also really deep in there. So I imagine stone is naturally cold, but once it gets cold, that's the certain amount of cold it's going to get.
Yeah.
It's not going to get much colder than that. So I imagine there's some form of insulation in that as well.
Yeah, that's true.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't know.
But yeah, that's what I have heard about this story, is that basically it's political propaganda because, you know, the English and the Scots and the Irish are not necessarily the best of friends.
No.
You know.
At all.
Yeah,
this makes me want to watch Vikings again.
The show?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're coming out with a Netflix. Sorry, I'm really excited about this. Netflix is coming out with a spinoff show about, and it's in the 1600s. And the details are blurry yet. So when the original Viking show ended, the Native Americans in Northern Canada, and that was part of it. So I'm wondering if they're going to take that, and go with it. I know Leif Erikson is supposed to be the main person that they're going to be talking about. So later Vikings. I know too much about Viking history, so I won't get into it. But yeah, I'm very excited about it.
Interesting.
Nice.
Yeah.
Something to look forward to.
Okay, guys. Well, thank you so much for listening. And Nicole, thank you for chatting with us.
Always a pleasure.
And we will talk to you guys next Thursday.
Bye, everyone.
Bye, Stranglers.